lately beams our Father's mercy. From his lighthouse evermore, but to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. So let the Lord lights be burning, send a gleam across the way. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman you may rescue, you may save. Sin has settled, loud the angry billows roar. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. So let the Lord lights be burning, send a gleam across the way. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman you may rescue, you may save. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother. Some poor sailor, tempest-tossed, trying now to make the harbor in the darkness, may be lost. So let the Lord lights be burning, send a gleam across the way. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman you may rescue, you may save.
Excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a first on this show. That was Dr. Eric Karlstrom performing live for us. The song was Let the Lower Lights Be Burning. I hope that you got the sound okay there. I was trying to do the levels because we've been adjusting the mic so that Eric...
Okay, could, I'm back here.
Excellent. Yeah, that was wonderful, Eric. I understand that was Let the Lower Lights Be Burning. Is that correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Can you let the listeners know where they can get your music and website, etc., and also what if that is available at the moment or any other music like that?
Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead.
Are we going? Are we on? Okay.
We are on. Yes. Yeah, sorry.
This is called. This song is written actually back around the time of the American Civil War, 1860s and 70s, in a different era. And it's more or less based on a true story of a shipwreck, and a preacher by the name of Moody got a hold of the story and used it as the basis of a sermon. And then a songwriter by the name of Philip P. Bliss wrote a song about it, and that's what I just played for you, Let the Lower Lights Be Burning. I do have played music all my life, and I've got a website, erickarlstrom.com, which features many of my CDs. The song that I just sang for you will be recorded on a CD that I'm doing this fall. It's all original banjo songs, and it's all actually instrumental, except this song. I'll also be putting out a gospel music, gospel Christian album this fall as well. So I'll be making two CDs this fall, and this will be on both of them. Music is a great antidote to some of the terrible things that are happening in the world right now, especially good gospel music like that. And as we actually look into the gang stalking program and see the terrible hell that's being imposed upon targeted individuals, listening to pleasing Christian music is probably one of the very, 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 very best things that a TI can do to entrain their brain on something positive and thereby thwart the technology of the system. So we can talk about that later too. But that's a 1936 pre-World War II Gibson banjo, and my voice live here in Colorado this morning.
Excellent. That was really, I really enjoyed listening to that. You've got a great voice, and it's all very intricate banjo work. It seems you can do a lot more with it than a guitar. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, very much so. And when I record it, it'll be a whole lot fancier than that. I was basically focusing on the words this morning. But, yeah, you can really go wild with the banjo, and it's the sky's the limit in terms of complexity. And it's really, really kind of fun and delightful, too, at the same time.
Yes, I encourage the listeners to... The only way that you can support Eric financially is to purchase his music. So please go to his website, as you said, ericcarlstrom.net. And have a look.
No, it's .com.
Sorry,
my
mistake.
EricCarlstrom.com,
folks, and I'll write that down as well for the link to the show. And before we jump into the subject of today, I want to thank Joel for his recent donation. And now, what Eric's done is he's very kindly put together an agenda. Well, essentially, we're going to see how far we get through it. We may do this over a few parts because I'd rather get into the topic of today in as much depth as possible than try and fit it all into one show, because Eric and I will be doing regular work together. We've certainly got another show booked, and he sent an email to some targeted individuals, and I'm just going to read the introduction. Greetings all. Our government is now targeting and torturing its own citizens en masse in order to develop neuro-war weapons, dispose of dissidents, and socially engineer a docile, subservient society. It is simultaneously deploying these same invisible neuro-electronic weapons on the civilian populations of the world in a program I have dubbed. And we've got a few headings here. So the first one is GOG's new Gestapo, and GOG stands for Global Organized Gang Stalking. So GOG's new Gestapo, what can you tell us about that, please, Eric?
Well, you know, I have been concerned that the word gang stalking, which has, you know, kind of been the main word that's been used, it's also been called organized stalking and cause stalking and community stalking. But it kind of brings up the idea of some gang in Los Angeles going after somebody, you know, and I think so it's kind of misleading. And so as I've kind of dug into learning about this subject, as well as mind control, and as I myself have become targeted, by the way, targeted individual, that's a military term. Let's keep that in mind. So the military is highly involved in this, as we can find, go through the documents and prove that very easily. We can also prove, going through the documents, I was a professor for 30 years teaching geography. Music has been my hobby, but I've got these other websites, and let me just mention them, Andy. 911-911-NWO.com is one, and out of that one, more recently grew my gang stalking mind control cults.com website. Another one, which all these are like digital libraries, enormous amounts of information are posted there. Many of the articles I wrote myself, and then when I find something else that's really, I think, worthwhile, I put that up there too. And then another website, naturalclimatechange.org. I taught physical geography, so this is, you know, right at my academic field. which is that, you know, climate changes cyclically and this whole global warming thing is propaganda, you know, for political purpose. We can talk about that too, but in another show, because we got a big topic today. And then also local water issues where I live in Colorado, San Luis Valley, waterwatch.com. And then finally, my musical website, which features about 18 CDs that I put out and a movie. And it's ericcarlstrom.com. So even though I retired from my 30-year teaching, university teaching career in 2011, I've been pretty busy ever since, working on these websites and recording music, etc. So, yeah, going back to the acronyms here, I figured we need better acronyms. I said this on the Richie Allen show, and a lady was kind enough to write me on email and give me some suggestions. And I'll just read a couple of her suggestions first before I read mine. I liked hers too. One was called ZSS Swine. Actually, I modified that a little bit, but this is basically her idea. ZSS Swine, Zionazi state-sponsored satanic warfare of invasive neuroelectrics. So the acronym then stands for something that actually describes what's happening. Another one she has is Cowards, covertly organized wireless assault on dissident spirits. I like that. And my Gog's New Gestapo, that's mine, a global organized gang stalking neuro-warfare groups, electronic slavery, torture, and PSYOP operations. Now, this tells you what's going on. Not only does the acronym tell you what's going on, Gog, of course, being the biblical term for the Antichrist system in the end times. And then, of course, everybody knows about the SS Gestapo during the Nazi regime. So what we have then is this global military police state that I think is coming down around us with many aspects, and one of the most hideous aspects is this gang stacking program. So that's kind of long, so I made a shorter one, Gog's MOP. It's kind of like mopping up operations for our leaders, and this stands for Global Organized Gang Stalking Monarch Operation Phoenix. Well, if one looks, this actually is borrowed from a book called Monarch, the New Phoenix Program by Marshall Thomas, who wrote this book, 8 or 10 years ago. And he figured out what was going on with this gang stalking program. He says it's the modern version of the MK Ultra mind control, trauma-based mind control experiments that the CIA did back in, you know, in the 50s and 60s and 70s and have continued right to today. And Monarch is the operational use of this. It's a satanic ritual abuse that's being done electronically, but it's also a way to terrorize into submission civilian populations, as was done in the Vietnam War under the CIA's Operation Phoenix, which they actually had quotas for the number of dead, civilians who were supposedly supporting the VCI, the Viet Cong infrastructure. They killed maybe 25 to 50,000 civilians between about 1967 and 71 when the program was stopped. But so Phoenix then became the template for what went on with the American death squads in Central and South America in the 80s, and the template for the death squads in Iraq and Afghanistan, which are operative now. So this is a way to take down civilian populations, especially those who might, resist the occupation, the invasion and occupation of the American Empire in this case. So if one cares to look, to read, even go to my websites, you'll find a long list of these mind control programs, MKUltra just being one of many, 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 and these U.S. government programs to take down civilian populations, the Phoenix being one of them. And MH Chaos was the Phoenix program applied to America in the 1960s, to take down dissidents. And the reason I'm kind of especially interested in this is I was a college student in the late 60s during the Vietnam War. The FBI guys were taking pictures of all the demonstrators, and so we had been infiltrated and were being spied upon. And there was a war room in the Pentagon at the time, you know, taking down the names and building dossiers on the potential problems, you know, the people that were independent thinkers and the people who, you know, maybe were not on board with this Conquer the World program that that we can maybe talk about later, Project Lucifer. Who are we conquering the world for? You know, I mean, what is this American empire really all about? That's the bigger problem. But right now we're taking our telephoto lens and we're looking at the gang stalking thing, which is itself a very complex and important topic, because our free will and our spiritual sovereignty, as well as our national sovereignty, are all on the line with this. These neural weapons now. This is the new Cold War. But let me just give a couple more acronyms that I've come up with modestly here. USS MSCUM stands for U.S.-sponsored mercenary stalking cells undercover murder. And this is a takeoff on, you know, acronyms that we get right out of the Pentagon. U.S. SOCOM, Special Operations Command, or NORTHCOM or INSCOM. They have all these, you know, various commands. And so basically the United States has divided up the world, you know, for the Pentagon and said, okay, you know, you guys are going to take care of this area. You're going to take care of this area. And now since 9/11, the America, North America itself has become the battlefield. Hence, NORTHCOM was formed. But then there's this highly, highly covert program still, USS, I'm calling it USS MSCUM. Because this is the most evil, reprehensible, despicable use of public money. I mean, this is all brought to us with taxpayer money. And if we look at all these operations, you know, these are taxpayer funded. So the American people have been conned at an enormous level. The war on terror is a complete fraud. It's a scam. It itself is a covert operation. Well, let's couple more here. U.S. Gitmo Sitmice. Now, this is not such a great acronym. But it stands for U.S. Global Intelligence Terrorist Military Operation Surveillance, Isolation, Torture, and Murder of Innocent Civilian Enemies. Well, see, I mean, it says what it is. And this has the advantage, U.S. Gitmo Sitmice has the advantage of, referring to, of course, Guantanamo Bay, which is, of course, the place where they detain supposedly the... the people who took down the World Trade Center, which, of course, that's totally bogus because the people that took down the World Trade Center were mostly, you know, this was the interagency. This was the, you know, it was an inside job. This was the Mossad, CIA, and many, many, many elements. The Air Force took an enormous role, of course. And I've got an article on my 911nwo.com website in which I describe the 46 drills. Actually, Webster Tarpley, the historian out of D.C., is the one who put together in his fifth edition of his book, 911, Synthetic Terror Made in the USA. He put scoured through all these newspaper accounts and found there were 46 drills going on the day of 9/11 and leading up to it, which mimicked every aspect of the 9/11 operation. And, of course, all that has to happen for something like that to actually occur is that these drills go live. They flip live, you know, at the moment, and somebody can do that probably with a push of a button in the Cheyenne Mountain NORAD bunker, which is about 90 miles from where I live in Colorado. And the big story behind that is that one of the many things that happened on 9/11 was another drill for continuity of government, imposition of martial law. In other words, this is, you know, now we're going to have this, you know, supra-secret government that takes over the whole United States and the world in the event of some catastrophe. Well, there they are. They created the catastrophe so they could run the drill. But anyway, that's another story. Maybe we can talk about that in September. We're coming up on our 16th anniversary for 9/11, and I've got a whole website about it. So those are some acronyms that I think, you know, a little more informative than gang stalking. You know, gang stalking has us all scratching our heads. What in the world is this? You know, my life's going downhill, and you know, people seem to be stalking me, and I seem to be getting, you know, voices in my head, and I'm going crazy, and blah 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 blah. Well, this is a huge program. It's global, and now we've got some alternative descriptors for it. Likewise, I suppose we can change the acronym TI. Stands for targeted individual, to say truth investigator or truth insister, somebody who just, you know, not going to go along with the matrix of lies that they have constructed around us. So I've got a little post on my Gang Stalking Mind Control Cults.com website called Best Acronyms for Gang Stalking and Targeted Individuals. It's actually one of the later articles that I've posted, but I think we need to, you know, we need to zero in on what this thing is, and that's what I've been doing with the website. But I've been using a historical approach. Like I say, there are many historical antecedents for this program. The long list of top secret mind control programs, MKUltra is kind of a basket term, but, you know, I mean, 1947, we had Project Chatter from the U.S. Navy, and then Artichoke and Bluebird in the 1950-1951, or I think it's the other way around, Bluebird and then Artichoke and then MKUltra and then MKOff and an MK Search and, you know, a whole bunch of MKs, MH Chaos. It goes right on up to the present, Operation Clean Sweep in 1998, you know, to experiment with various frequencies that cause different emotions to come forward in large populations. They've been experimenting. 1960 with, you know, they started out with MKUltra saying we want to be able to control people's behavior so that they'll do what we want them to do our bidding, even when it runs against their self-interest and against their instinct for self-preservation. So in other words, we want to create the Manchurian Candidate, assassins. We want to create sex slaves, beta sex slaves. We want to create satanic super soldiers with, you know, Jason Bourne type powers. This all goes back to just the immediate post-World War II period, and these documents are out there. I've got 50 books on the topic of mind control history that I've read and summarized in an article on my website that's called Mind Control History and Applications, which I wrote in 2012. And then, lo and behold, in 2013, I realized how myself was being targeted. Now, there may be a connection between those two events. I don't know. But the year I spent in researching mind control, 2012, was a very, very uncomfortable year. It was like going into the center of the ninth circle of hell where Satan lives, because when human beings start to try to control other human beings' minds, they use a thing called satanic ritual abuse, and they often abuse children of 6 and under years of age with sexual abuse, rape, and then they try to create a multiple personality disorder, and now called dissociative identity disorder, put amnesia barriers between the subaltern personalities, and create then a robotic slave who can be used to carry out all kinds of functions for. Now, this all goes back to the Illuminati and the Egyptian Book of the Dead, and the Nazis were big into this stuff during World War II at the concentration camps. And then these same Nazis, 3,000 of them, came into the United States right after World War II and kept going on it with our MKUltra, with the CIA. So the Nazis and the CIA, all of a piece. And yet also the CIA was trained by British MI6 and MI5. So what you have at the level of the intelligence agencies is kind of a good old boys club that's actually not serving the people of the respective nations. They're serving the high cabal willingly, you know, and they're serving the power structure, the elite bankers and that you know so much about, Andy. As we go through what I'm trying to do with this thing is not talk about my symptoms. Oh, you know, this happened to me last Tuesday. I'm trying to find out, you know, what are the antecedents? What are the precursors to this program? And as it turns out, if you're willing to read and dig, there's an enormous number of antecedents to this program. And it all comes back to these, you know, black projects. This is a black project. It's a black operation. Every single setup that a TI finds themselves in is a covert operation. So what we have is this template of covert operations, clandestine operations that the Secret Services have been doing, you know, so successfully to destabilize the world, you know, coups and assassinations and insurrections and You know, this is going on all over the world, and it's going on in nations, and it's going on with individuals. So we need to look at it at the micro level, and we need to see how it's applied globally. But this is what they do. This is what the military intelligence and now the corporate sector does. Of course, we've outsourced a lot of our intelligence and military functions now. So the private sector is into this. The whole war and terror establishment, the national security establishment, is also the national security enterprise. I mean, they're making trillions of dollars off this, Osama bin Laden, blah, blah, blah. Well, Osama bin Laden. His name was Tim Osmond. He was a CIA asset in the 80s, and he was from Saudi Arabia, and he was a very, very rich Saudi from a very rich family, and he brought millions of dollars to help Americans kick the Russians out of Afghanistan in the 1980s when the United States had a proxy war in Afghanistan between Saudi United States and Russia, Soviet Union then, and kind of finished off the Soviet Union. The United States CIA is the biggest CIA operation ever at that time. And Tim Osmond, Osama bin Laden, was our boy at that time. He was training the quote-unquote terrorists. And at that time, the terrorists over there were called freedom fighters. I mean, Ronald Reagan, people don't have a memory. Ronald Reagan brought some of these Mujahideen, quote-unquote terrorists, up on the podium with him back in D.C. and said, these are the moral equivalent of the founding fathers. You know, so one man's freedom fighter is another man's terrorist. Terrorist means whoever we don't like is what it amounts to. If we like what they're doing, they're freedom fighters and they're heroes. And if the government doesn't like what they're doing, then they're terrorists. So the global war on terrorism is the biggest fraud. I mean, it's so huge. It's so pathetic. It's so ridiculous. And yet the world's people seem to have bought into this nonsense. All you have to do is look back a little bit through history to see that counterterrorism is the same as terrorism. Insurgency and counterinsurgency are the same. The U.S. CIA military have been using counterinsurgency doctrine since the 50s. I mean, my God, we're living in this bubble of ignorance and idiocy, which, of course, is daily reinforced for us by our media and our press. So the only real hope, then, as far as I can see, Andy, is for people to read and to listen to shows like yours where they get opportunity, hopefully, to hear, something that's not coming out of the mainstream media.
I agree, Eric. And on that point, what we're seeing at the moment, we've seen a real, I mean, one of the methods that they use is to destroy nations' cultures. And they're doing this with this big immigration into all these different white countries around the world, trying to take their heritage away with these removal of these Confederate monuments, etc. And what we've seen recently has been an astonishing attack on anything white or anything nationalist. They've been using the mainstream media to encourage people at the recent people to look at images of white nationalists at the recent Charlottesville rally and get them to, if you know them, make sure you get them fired from their jobs. Encouraging attacks on these people. They've been taking down people's websites. It's just been relentless, and they seem to have identified any sort of nationalism as the biggest enemy to their operation. And I would say that this is gang stalking now going on a broader scale, that they feel empowered. They've got the government, the politicians, the military, the media primarily, all on their side, singing off this same leftist hymn sheet. And it seems to be gang stalking war on whites in overdrive. What are your thoughts in these recent events and how gang stalking is fitting into this?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's really good to try to make these connections, because really what we're talking about is very, very sophisticated techniques of mind control. You know, George Orwell, Eric Blair, who wrote his book 1984 and 1948, said, whoever controls the present controls the past, and whoever controls the past controls the future. So we're seeing a lot of this, you know, let's take down all these statues in the southern part of the United States, you know, of all the Confederate generals, you know, let's just erase that history from memory. Well, this is exactly what they do with the individual's mind. they're actually going in and they're trying to change the memories, short-term memories of individuals who are being subjected to these, you know, really ferocious mental assaults, which we, you know, we call by these different names, but we'll call it gang stalking. But yeah, so what we have is a takedown of the world program, and this gets into my another post that I didn't write, but found on the website. It's called Project Lucifer: Two Different Viewpoints on the Current World Crisis, and I think we need to try to figure out what the larger context is for this gang stalking thing. And I think you know what that context is, perhaps better than, you know, 99.99999%. It is the takeover of the world. I think the America is being used by the world Jewry as a mechanism. You know, the Pax Americana, which our military leaders have been planning for since World War II, the American Empire is really a front for the Jewish Empire. It's this Jewish utopia idea, the Jewish Universal Empire. Now we're seeing they want to rebuild the temple, you know, on the Temple Mount by 2021, you know, blow up the Dome of the Rock, which happens to be there already, and, you know, put in their temple so they can rule the world from Jerusalem and all this stuff. This, I mean, there's so many quotes, as you know, going back through history, which tell us, you know, exactly who's planning to do what. If you don't mind, I'll just read a quote. This is from Trotsky, the great Satan of Bolshevism, on the eve of the October 1917 takeover. "We must turn Russia into a desert populated by white Negroes upon whom we shall impose a tyranny such as the most terrible Eastern despots never dreamed of. The only difference is that this will be a left-wing tyranny, not a right-wing tyranny. It will be a red tyranny and not a white one. We mean the word red literally because we shall shed such floods of blood as will make all the humans' losses suffered in the capitalist wars quake and pale by comparison." Well, they did that. "The biggest bankers across the ocean will work in the closest possible contact with us." That's absolutely true. The Harriman family, which is just right under the Rothschild family and the Illuminati structure, they were funding the Red Terror in the new Soviet Union back in 1917-18. Direct connections that Eustace Mullins brings out in his book, The World Order. And so he's just laying it out in 1917. "If we win the revolution, we will establish the power of Zionism upon the wreckage of the revolution's funeral, and we shall become a power before which the whole world will sink to its knees. We shall show what real power is by means of terror and bloodbaths." And they did this with the Red Terror, the Cheka. "We shall reduce the Russian intelligentsia to a state of complete stupefaction and idiocy and to an animal existence." Isn't this a fun guy? "At the moment, our young men in their leather jackets, who are the sons of watchmakers from Odessa, Osha, Gornel, and and Vinnytsia, know how to hate everything Russian. What pleasure they take in physically destroying the Russian intelligentsia, officers, academics, and writers." Okay, so that's 1917. Let's move up to 1952. Rabbi Emanuel Rabinovich announced the following during a convention in Budapest, Hungary, on the 12th of January, 1952. And we can maybe call this program he mentions, call it Project Lucifer. "This program will achieve its objective, the Third World War, which will surpass in destruction all previous contests." Another fun guy, another fun Jew. "Israel, of course, will remain neutral, and when both sides are devastated and exhausted, we will arbitrate, sending our control commissions into all the wrecked countries. This war will end for all time our struggle against Gentiles." That's everybody that's not a Jew. "We will openly reveal our identity with the races of Asia and Africa. I can state with assurance that the last generations of white children are being born. Our control commissions will, in the interests of peace and wiping out interracial tensions, forbid whites to mate with whites. The white women must cohabit with members of the dark races, the white men with black women. Thus, the white race will disappear, for mixing the dark and the white means the end of the white man, and our most dangerous enemy will become only a memory. We will embark on an era of 10,000 years of peace and plenty, the Pax Judaica, and our race will rule undisputed over the earth. Our superior intelligence will easily enable us to retain mastery over a world of dark peoples." I mean, these are the megalomaniac racial supremacists of all history. I have argued in many articles that these are Satan's children, just like Jesus said You know, you're a race of vipers, a generation of vipers.
Yeah,
and, you know, and you do the will of your father, the devil, Lucifer. So these are Lucifer's kids, unfortunately, and we get to live with them, and they keep trying to destroy our world, and they're right on the edge of success, as far as I can see, Andy. And this, so in putting it in the larger context, I would say global gang stalking, or Gog's mop, or Gog's new Gestapo, or whatever you want to call it, is part of this program. And they see the goal. They see the goal line, man. They're gonna blow up the temple, the mount, you know, and the Dome of the Rock. They're gonna build this temple. This is the long term millennial goal of the Jews since Solomon, and Freemasonry, which is a Gentile front for the Jews, is to rebuild Solomon's temple. It's even doubtful if there was an original one, but anyway, they're going to, quote, rebuild it and then rule the world from there. Well, unless we can stop them, and with help from God, it looks like they're doing a pretty good job of moving in that direction.
I agree, and I think that that is the key issue here, with help from God, and this is where I've been going recently with my shows. Because, you know, I don't see a political solution. I just feel that it's only going to be divine intervention now that can really help us. I certainly from where I'm located, at least in America, you still have weapons. And so if there was some sort of civil war, I would imagine that the whites would win because they tend to be more disciplined, etc. But that's America. How about they seem to be about the only white nation left that have got not had their gun control, you know, had gun control imposed upon them. You mentioned the American Empire actually being the Jewish Empire. Well, obviously the British Empire before that was also the Jewish Empire, and they were using, you look at the Boer War, for example, in South Africa, and they just, the Rothschild family wanted to get all the you know, the gold and the diamonds, etc., that were on these farmers' land, and so they used the British military to get it.
Exactly.
And then we've got, you mentioned, it's funny, you mentioned the quote from Trotsky regarding the white Negroes, because a friend of mine who's also a regular guest on this show, Michael Walsh, has actually written a book called Trotsky's White Negroes, and we did a whole show devoted to that. And then you can tie in that quote with what, and then obviously you gave the Rabinovich quote, who again alluded to the fact that they wanted to breed the white race out of existence by encouraging racial interbreeding. Well, you can't have that happen unless you put loads of non-whites into white countries, which is exactly why they've done that. And that then takes us back to the old favourite, the Coudenhove-Kalergi plan from 1926, which now you get the Charlemagne Prize for. People like Angela Merkel and Tony Blair have been awarded it. And that's for plunging your country into a racial homogenization by bringing in loads of immigrants and then using the media and the soaps on television to encourage the race mixing. And suddenly you find that there's more non-whites being bred than whites, because when two races mix, then the result is a mongrel, and that's the destruction of both races. It's just amazing how it's all coming together, and the way that they seem to be doing it. You know, Rabinovich was very much like, we will force these people. Well, they realise that they're not going to be able to do it that easily, so they need to encourage people. They're still technically forcing them, because since then they've developed all these mind control techniques, and now it's become a first choice for women, certainly in the, or girls rather, certainly in the major cities in the UK that I witness, their first choice is to go off with a black boyfriend. The media have made it fashionable. The media have made them the alpha male. And white people just look ridiculous. The white man looks ridiculous. And they've been doing this over a period of decades. If you go back to the sitcom situation comedies of the 1970s, you'd have the woman in the house, and she was the person that always knew how to do things, and the man was just henpecked, a weak individual. So they've been instilling that, you know, this feminism, woman ruling the roost for decades. And now they just push it on and on and on and on. And I mean, this leads us nicely, Eric, and feel free to comment on anything that I've said before you get into this. But we may get through this today, because we're, let's see how far we're in. We've got about just under 20 minutes. You've written about Project Lucifer, two different viewpoints on the current world crisis. Now, anything that you'd like to say in response to what I said, and then I'll hand over to you. Please continue and tell us about Project Lucifer.
Yeah, well, you know, what really strikes me about what you said is that this is a very, very deliberate strategy. In other words, the goal for this tribe is world conquest, and it always has been. And so, of course, they infiltrate the various countries. They call it the diaspora, you know, and God told us to do this. But in fact, this is a strategy for world takeover. And so every time they go into a country, as you well know, they, of course, form a nation within a nation and try to take down that country. And for this reason, they've been kicked out over 100 different nations. A guy named E. Michael Jones, a Catholic PhD, wrote a book called the Jewish Revolutionary Spirit, Its Impact on World History. And what turned him, a 1,200-page book, which I've read, he reinterprets all of Western history in terms of this war between Catholicism, really, and Christianity and Judaism. And he says what got him going on it was looking at the Jews' impact on the Immigration Reform Act of the 1960s in the United States. I think it was 1964, which changed the basic pattern of immigrants. Now, all of a sudden, Europeans were, it was harder for Europeans to get in, and much easier then from Asians and, Mexicans, etc. And I have nothing against Asians and Mexicans. I'm not, I think they're great, you know, but what really strikes me about all this is it's a strategy. This is a Jewish strategy to eliminate their, what they perceive as their biggest threat. That is, you know, the white race, the white culture. And, so they're thinking very practically on this. This is a matter of, okay, how are we going to take over the world? Well, the white guys have been our, you know, he's been the one who's beaten us the most, so we're going to take him out. So I think that's really important to realize. And, you know, there's no racism really involved when you understand that what they're doing is a geopolitical strategy. We don't have to hate the blacks or the Mexicans or anybody else. We can celebrate them as humans. They're God's children, as far as I'm concerned. But we also have to realize that this one tribe has these ambitions of world conquest, and that they regard all non-Jews as beasts, as goyim, as cattle, as servants, and to be either killed at the time when they take over the world, or else to be their servants. There's so many statements to this effect in their Talmud, in their Kabbalah, and in their rabbinic commentaries, etc. There is no big mystery. I mean, this is how they view the world. So again, I have nothing against the Jews per se originally, but except for now I realize that, oh well, they deliberately caused the destruction and the torture and the murder of 66 million white Christians in Russia in the Soviet Union. Well, I mean, I'm sorry, I can't get on board with that. I can't get on board with what Trotsky was saying. I mean, these people are the ultimate haters. These people are really Satan's kids. And to not know that is to walk through the world handicapped, and most of us are handicapped because, of course, the Jewish tribe owns the media. So our perceptions are shaped by these, you know, six Jewish companies that own 95% of the world's media. So, yeah, going back to this Lucifer document here, this is something I got off the internet, Project Lucifer, two different viewpoints on the current world crisis. And I particularly was interested in the commentary, the people that wrote in. And so that's on my website under Corrected History and New World Order and the Controllers, I think, Gang Stalking Mind Control Cults. And I'm looking at it now. And two guys, Lobro and Art Stanton, basically give their slightly different views. Both think that the Jews control America. Lobro thinks that Trump is independent, and that he might, save us from the Jewish empire. And the next guy, Art Stanton, thinks that Trump is actually a shill for the Zionists, Jews, the neocons, etc., Israel, and that Trump is the Jews' front man for World War III. And the Jews put him in office, etc. So I actually agree with Art Stanton, the second guy. I think that he's fully on board with the Jewish agenda. I think his job is going to be to create this, you know, new Cold War with Russia, which, of course, we're well into. Now it's a neural war, or at least at the surface, it's a neural war with the gang stalking, Gog's mop, etc. But beneath the surface, just like back during the old Cold War days of the nuclear standoff, I think the people at the top controlled both the United States and the Soviet Union. We, in fact, the United States, shared all our nuclear secrets with the Soviet Union so that they could appear to be our archenemy. We gave them all the technology, all the materials they needed for just like what we've done now with the neural warfare. So now there appears to be this standoff between the East and the West, United States and Russia and China. But I agree with those who think that, you know, the Rothschilds and the Harrimans and the Bushes at the top, the Illuminati Jews, are controlling like puppets these nations. And so this is all just what we're supposed to think. We're supposed to think there's a new Cold War. There's really not a new Cold War. What there is a war of the very, very top elite against everybody else, which is, you know, the Goyim. And they're playing this out as per their old script. And they are pushing us into World War III in order to get their Jewish utopia. And I see a lot of evidence on that. And I've got a lot of evidence to support that on my websites. And of course, I'm taking my evidence from people like you, Andy, and you're taking it from where you find it. In other words, we're researching, we're digging, we're finding the evidence, and it's overwhelming that this is what's happening.
We're really joining the dots, I think. You know, what I did the other day was I did a show on this Deagle.com website, which is this military website that's got a very interesting section. I don't know if I've mentioned it to you before, Eric, but I did a show on it. And it's got a list of pretty much all but about 10 or 15 countries in the world. And it has their projected military spending in 2025 and also their projected population. And the population figures are the most interesting ones. It predicts a 81% drop in the United States population between now and 2025. It predicts a 78% drop in the UK population between now and 2025. And so I started looking at other things. I thought, because North Korea's not on there, but South Korea was on there, and I think they had about a 15-20% drop. And then Japan had about a 15% drop. And I had a look at Russia, and I looked at Iran, and there was not really any drop at all there. Nor China. I think China had an increase. Russia might have had an increase as well. And so I was starting to think, you know, what do these people know? Because they like to hide things in plain sight. And it's a very innocuous website. It seems to just talk about different military hardware. And it's got this strange document about projected population in 2025. I came to the realisation that the real victims in this, because European populations are going to go down as well, but none as far as the UK. Well, of course, the UK has always been the lapdog to the United States. And I think essentially it's all the Jewish empire, but they now use the United States because they've got a bigger population, so they can give them a bigger army, navy, etc. But it's always a case of as soon as the US goes in somewhere, the UK will always send troops to help. And that points me to if these population reduction figures are true, these are what they're planning, then North Korea United States conflict looks most likely, because of course if they can reach the United States with their missiles, then they can also reach the UK, and it's always the two that work together. So it would stand to reason that they would be the ones that would get it more than anybody else. And the media keeps telling us that North Korea, they don't have, you know, their weapons can't reach that far, what have you. But the media tell us that, Oswald killed Kennedy, and the media tell us that Arabs did 9/11, and the media tell us that all this immorality in our society is good. And if you so much as quote from a Bible where it says homosexuality is an abomination, then you should be jailed and arrested. And, you know, if you don't bake a cake for these people, you should be face jail and what have you. But apparently you have free speech as well. So before you jump to conclusions about, you know, this North Korean Kim Jong-un just being some madman, you know, think of how mad your governments and your media are and how much lies they tell you. And if we go and do something to him and he's got more than he says he has, it's no skin off his nose just to fire it all off. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think we're being played in a thousand different ways. I think, you know, the CIA, the job of the CIA is to you know, to put together these cover stories, you know, these lies, which advance the interests of the elite and bamboozle the rest of us. You know, well, we got to go over to Vietnam to defend the people there from internal aggression. You know what? Well, you know, the United States created the two different countries just like it did in Korea as a way to divide and conquer, just like they're doing, have done with Iraq now, and that's what they want to do with Russia. And of course, the United States is a fifth column enemy, has taken over the United States, in my opinion, which is the Judeo-Masonic Satanists. But here's what Lobro says on the Project Lucifer. He says, in order to conquer and run the world, the American military needs to project massive, intimidating power to every corner of the globe simultaneously. They need to meddle in the affairs of far-flung countries, crushing the various people they invade with all the most evil mass-murdering weapons ever imagined. From Dresden onwards, they do this in order to bring about Deuteronomy. Of course, the book of Deuteronomy is supposedly the first book written in the Pentateuch, the Torah, the five books, main five books of the Old Testament, to bring about Deuteronomy to the shocked and awed Goyim and grind them into unthinking obedience. All this takes big bucks. Mass murder doesn't come cheap. So the ordinary American, not noted for his superlative brilliance, puts his nose to the grindstone and lends his support to Project Lucifer. He makes himself an unwitting agent of his Jewish overlord. With the sweat and blood of their brothers, their sons, their doggedly toiling neighbors, these simple-minded Americans put their shoulders to the wheel and play their parts in the great drama of global genocide. They kill their own goy brethren to appease the bloodlust of their Jewish masters. Well, that kind of puts it right there. And then Art Stanton more or less agrees. He finishes up with this comment here. Let me see if I can find it. He says Iran will be the culmination of Israel's plans to take over the Near East. Of course, that's Greater Israel, Eretz Israel, or whatever. North Korea is simply a minor diversion, so people will not pay attention to what Jews are doing in the Near East, which is, of course, take it over. And then that becomes their base, oil-rich base for world domination. However, the bluster over North Korea is effectively priming the idiot Goyim masses for the idea of unrestricted warfare. The people being oppressed in these present confrontations are the people who will undoubtedly protest and fight the Jews' insane plan to start World War III. This is the attempt to remove the white right so there will be no opposition, only unified support for the coming war will remain. This is likely the Jews' final push to destroy what remains of white American resistance. There will be no resistance from the masses of low IQ minorities. Coming events may well lead to civil war. Of course, given their control of the media, Jews control the minds of the gullible, ignorant masses. Therefore, they feel they will be able to favorably manipulate any situation that arises. Given the historic record, Jews have every reason to believe this. One thing is certain, Judaized American culture has been dumbed down to a point where the gullible goyim cannot think their way out of a paper bag. In turn, Jews capitalize on the mass confusion they created. Thus, the stupid goyim are ripe for the Jews' next Purim Holocaust festival slaughter. Well, you know, he's, of course, pretty hard on the American intellect there. But then if you read through the comments that here, boy, you got some smart people. So I'm a little optimistic that there's still some smart, well-informed people in the United States and elsewhere. We'll see if we can launch any kind of meaningful resistance to this universal Jewish empire, which is very close to becoming reality, especially if they get their World War III, then they'll have, you know, the ashes of the Phoenix rising and all this stuff, order out of chaos, and they'll come in and you know, have their Pax Judaica. Who knows? But it does seem like they're playing out the Book of Revelations as a script. And let's hope God shows up at some point to, like you say, we need divine intervention, because it looks like the Project Lucifer is well advanced, and the people in power seem to be his minions.
Yes, and that's the most important thing to remember, folks. You know, I don't want to come across as defeatist, because I'm not, but all these different things, this Deagle website, this, you know, what Eric just went through, that North Korea could be a great big distraction, what have you. These are all plans that the Jews have for you, okay? But there's one thing that they haven't factored into the plan, and that is God, okay? Because their God, as they admit it, is Lucifer. And I mentioned the other day, you look at what Harold Rosenthal said, the former Jacob Javits employee assistant, and he admitted in that Rosenthal document that we Jews don't like to admit it, but our God is Lucifer. So they've got all these things sorted out, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and I'm sure they've got little graphs as to how long they see it taking to get rid of us and what have you. But they haven't factored God into that plan. Now, Jesus Christ said that the Jews were of their father, the devil. And I've yet to meet any that have caused me to question that statement or doubt it. And it's just, that is where the salvation is. I don't see it being anywhere else. So I encourage people to, make sure that you do have a spiritual part of your life, which should be the absolute center of it, and make sure that you pray, and you pray for God's return, because if you don't, or I pray for Yahweh's return, because we're told that's the name, because if you don't do that, then we really are lost, because if we were so good at sorting ourselves out, why are we in such a mess today? Why did our parents not stop this, or their parents not stop this? Why have we got to the stage where we lived in, you know, predominantly white countries? They were white, basically. You didn't really have immigration. America had some blacks there due to slavery, but other countries did not really have other races. I mean, you used to have in London, you'd have Slavic people, and all sorts of different races would gravitate to cities throughout Europe, but they would be generally of white stock. Of course, we ended up with the Jews again, and that's why we've ended up with all the other races. It's pretty obvious what their plan is. And as I say, I think that for a show that sounds somewhat defeatist, it isn't, because it's the faith and it's the power of that that can overcome the children of Satan. And I want to hand back to you, Eric, to make a closing statement with regard to the show. Over to you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Andy, for the opportunity to talk about these things. I would just go back to the sentiment that's expressed in the song that I sang at the beginning, Let the Lower Lights Be Burning. Now, that was, again, back in the 19th century, a very Christian era in American history, much more so than now, I think. And, you know, the sentiment was, we have to be show God's light to each other. We have to, you know, we have to be Christ's representatives here on earth. I mean, this is a way of being. This is a philosophy, worldview. The devil doesn't have that sweetness. The devil wants you in hell. And evidently his minions, you know, their highest goal is to bring you to hell too. And there's nothing kind of more hellish that I can think of than this gang stalking program. So what I'm finding out is, by a lot of Christians are being targeted, and I think that's not a coincidence. And a lot of Christians are forced to pray up and, cling to their faith and rely on the Holy Spirit, because even to survive this onslaught of evil against an individual is no small feat, and it shows how resilient the human spirit is. But the human spirit really probably can't do it by itself. We have to. This throws us into our dependence upon Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit, and I think this is a good place to end it, Andy, because I think this is true for TIs. It's true for the rest of us. What's coming down around us is very dark. We're glimpsing true evil all around us, and we have to know it. We have to name it. We have to be aware of it, and we have to somehow hold on to this, the Christian virtues, the doctrines of the faith. Let the lower lights be burning. We have to try to be that light to each other, and shine a light on the truth as well.
Thank you so much, Eric. And Eric will be back with us in a couple of weeks' time. I want to thank everyone for listening. I'm going to be back with you all soon. And bye for now.
You have been listening to the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show on TBR Radio, brought to you by the Barnes Review. Andrew's book, The Synagogue of Satan, is now available on his website, andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com, in an updated, expanded, and uncensored edition.